I'll read text 32 and 33. Translations. Thereupon Lord Bor killed the demon within the water just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree, and thus the sages, headed by Brahma, could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Text 34. Translation. All the sages uttered with great respect, O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons, to uplift the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar. Purport. The Lord can assume any form he likes, and in all circumstances he is the cause of all causes. Since his form is transcendental, he is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is in the causal ocean in the form of Mahavishnu. Innumerable universes generate from the holes of his bodily hairs, and thus his transcendental body is the Vedas personified. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and he is the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is never to be misunderstood to be other than the Supreme Lord, because of his assuming the form of a boar to lift the earth. That is the clear understanding of sages and great personalities like Brahma and other residents of the higher planetary systems. Srila Prabhupada's first comment in the purport is, the Lord can assume any form he likes, which for those who regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books seems like an axiomatic statement. And actually for anyone who professes to believe in God, the statement that he can assume any form he likes should be accepted as axiomatic. Whatever he wants, he can do. However, if we present the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this term Srila Prabhupada used, he didn't usually say God, he would say the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to make it clearer who he's talking about. He's not talking about some imaginary fluff in someone's head. Very specific. Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is here in the form of, Srila Prabhupada usually writes, hog, and in modern English we usually say pig, which is an insulting word actually. If we call someone a pig, in probably in every language of the world, it's an insulting term. In Indian languages they say the son of a pig, which you just have to think a little bit more, and then it means you're also a pig. Well, actually, we're all the sons of pigs, because we're all sons of Krishna, who's appeared as a boar. So if someone says that you're the son of a pig, you say, that's true, so are you. We're all brothers and sisters. So it seems that, but it seems that to say that he appears as a pig was a theoretical theist, or someone who doesn't really know what he's talking about, means he has a some idea that there is something, someone, or some fluff, some idea, some force called God might accept theoretically that he can do whatever he likes, but they'd be hard-pressed if the atheist was to challenge them that is God in the form of a pig? Then they'd be stuck, because you don't want to say yes, you don't say no either. You don't say yes because the form of a hog is the most despicable thing, universally accepted as despicable. That's why in every language to call someone a pig is an insult. On the other hand, if you say no, it would appear that God is limited. He can't appear as a pig. So actually he does. If we go beyond theoretical or logical calculations of what we think God might be, he appears in the form of a hog, and not only in the form of a hog, but in many other forms also. Actually, according to Shukadev Goswami, the form more abominable than the hog is the fish. When the description of the Matsya avatar was told to Parikshit Maharaj, he appeared to have difficulty accepting that. He didn't question about the form of the Lord as a hog. But when it was described about the form of a fish, it was Parikshit Maharaj, who said that the form of a fish is the lowest and most abominable. And how could the Lord appear as a fish? Of course, we understand that Parikshit Maharaj himself wasn't bewildered, but he was expressing this doubt that others might express to further glorify or to give incentive to Shukadev Goswami to further glorify the points that he'd already been making. If Parikshit Maharaj was going to ask this question, he could have asked it long ago, because there are so many different forms which are unusual from our worldly perspective, unusual. But Shukadev Goswami reiterated the same point that Lord Krishna himself makes succinctly when he speaks to Arjuna. Ajopi sanavyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya, that his form is, he is. When we say his form, we mean he, because he is his form. He is unborn. And he is avyayatma. That means his body is not a material. The form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not anything material that is subject to decay or destruction. And although he is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all circumstances, nevertheless, he appears within this world out of his own mercy, out of his own desire. So this point is reiterated again and again throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, even in the 10th canto, in the descriptions of Krishna in his most intimate pastimes. We'll find the again and again reminders that he is, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not, when we're discussing him, again and again we have to be reminded that he is not any product of the material world. He is, when we see everything, we see everything as a material product, because that's all we're used to. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing within this world, is always transcendental to it. And even though people may have difficulty accepting that he may appear as a hog, he does. And we know that because Vyasadeva says so. It's stated in Shastra. There's no other way to understand that. There's no logical way to understand it. We may logically conclude that there should be some reason behind it, there should be some purpose behind this creation or behind this place we find ourselves in. There should be a creator, there should be a maintainer, so there should be God. And logically, we can accept that there is a God, at least at the level of being the creator and supervisor of the material world. But who he is, how he exists, that we cannot get information of simply by logic. Just like if we come to a country or we come to a city, we see that everything is going on as expected. There's traffic lights, shops, and people moving around in a fairly orderly way, then it is logical to assume. We don't even really do any logic, we don't really even think about it, we just accept it as a given that there's some kind of administration in this city, and we don't know exactly what the administrative system is, or in a country, we don't know whether it's autocracy or a democracy or what kind of system is going on, but we know there must be some kind of system for governing the whole place, and someone must be in charge of it. Someone has the post of being in charge of it, whether it's a king or a sultan or a president or a prime minister, there must be someone in charge. So that's just accepted. But what the president or sultan likes to eat for breakfast, you can't work that out logically. You can work out there should be someone in charge, but what he looks like, what kind of clothes he wears, what he likes to eat for breakfast, who his wife is, or, I have to say it around the other way, who her husband is, that we cannot deduce logically. For that we have to find out from people who know. There is someone in charge. We don't know who he or she is, but we can assume there is someone, and if we want to know more about them, then we can find out. There are ways of finding out from those who know. So it's the same. We can apply this logic to understanding Shastric descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we can logically conclude that there is a cause of all causes, and that should be a person. Who that person is, what are his personal characteristics, we shall have to find out from Shastra. So Shastra describes that this cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is one person, Advaitam Achyutam Anadyam Ananta Rupam, but he has many forms. He's not limited by us. He's not limited by the three kinds of limits, time, space, and thought. He's fully in control of all potencies. He's creating this material world is not a very great thing for him. Because we are stuck in this material world, we tend to think of him, his glories, as the creator of this world, but it's really not, it's not what distinguishes him as the greatest person. We can only think like that because we don't imagine, because we are limited by thought. We can't imagine the spiritual world. And we think that the Lord, or the Supreme Lord, is only the Lord of this material world, and He creates this world, and it's, in our perverted way, we think this world is meant for our enjoyment, and God's business is to make it more enjoyable for us, or to remove the obstacles in our enjoyment of it. But from the Shastra we learn that beyond this material world there is the spiritual world where the Lord resides. And he comes into this material world from time to time just to beckon us back to there. We don't belong here. We belong with him. He is not simply someone to be called out to help me remove the obstacles so I can enjoy myself better, or make some arrangements so I can enjoy myself better here. But he comes to tell us that we're not meant for enjoyment here at all, because it's not meant to, we are meant for enjoyment, but not here, because this is not a place for enjoyment at all. It's a place for people of perverted mentality. So he comes, and he comes in any form he likes, in many different forms, even those forms which they may appear to lesser theists, or not very informed theists, to be blasphemous. If certain theists, they consider Krishna's pastimes of stealing the clothes of the gopis to be immoral, and that therefore to state that Krishna is God, they consider this to be blasphemous. How can you say our God is good? Your God is not good. Even some people who claim to be devotees of Lord Ram, they say, our Ram is very good. Your Krishna is not good. They don't know who is Ram, actually. So he is as he is, and his appearance in this world is appreciated by those who have faith in the statement which Srila Prabhupada has given here, which is, of course, the statement of Rishaya Utuhu, the glorified sages uttered. What Srila Prabhupada is stating is what Vyasadeva stated and what every sane person has ever stated since the beginning of creation and even before. Unfortunately, there are not many sane people in the world at any time in history. But those who are sane, they accept that the Lord can assume any form he likes, and he is not bound to accept any form that should be considered acceptable to persons who try to measure the Supreme Lord by the means of their own limited intelligence. This is called Maya. Mapiyate anaya iti Maya. To measure is one definition of Maya. To attempt to measure. When we attempt to measure he who is immeasurable, we like to put some definition of God. I've got a doctorate of theology. I have a university degree in theology. So now I understand. I understand about God. But here we have Lord Brahma is mentioned in this purport. The clear understanding of sages and great personalities like Brahma and other residents of the higher planetary systems. So Brahma, he's mentioned here, Rishiya Utuhu. He's also a rishi. He's a great demigod. And Narad Rishi is generally stated to be the rishi among the demigods, but Brahma, he's also a rishi in as much as he's a transcendentalist. The Vedas also emanate from him. The cause of all causes is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Vedas, they also appear from Brahma as an interim medium, as the creator, or the organizer of the universe. So he's also a rishi. The rishi means those who manifest the Vedic mantras within this world. That's the original meaning of the word rishi. They see the mantras and they tune into the Vedas and make them available in this world. So Brahma, he has a clear understanding that, what is the clear understanding? That he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never to be misunderstood to be other than the Supreme Lord because of his assuming the form of a boar to lift the earth. Brahma's understanding is clear. Persons of murky understanding might presume that the Lord can assume any form he likes, but not that of a pig. That's too much. How can you say that a pig is God? Well, he's not an ordinary pig. I've had someone tell me before that an ordinary pig is God. This is the problem when you try to take the statements of Shastra out of context. The Lord can assume any form he likes, but we have to know which forms he assumes according to Shastra. And it doesn't mean that any pig is God. I had this experience many years ago on a street in Patna, in Bihar, in India, where I was speaking to some young men and telling them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one man came up and listened to what we were saying, and he listened for a short time, and then he butted in, protesting that how can you say Krishna is the Supreme? Everything is supreme. Why only Krishna? Why are you promoting Krishna? He was an envious rascal, if you didn't understand that already. So, foolishly, I tried to reason with him a little bit, although it should have been obvious from the beginning that he wasn't a person to be reasoned with. But as is often the case in arguing with unreasonable people, you take their proposition to the extreme, give an extreme example of it to show its foolishness. So it happened that there were some pigs running around on the street, which you won't see in the Western countries, but it's still quite common in India, not in the biggest cities. So I said to him that, well, do you accept the pig? He was adamant that Krishna shouldn't be worshipped as God, but everything should be worshipped as God. So I said, well, do you accept the pig as God? Yes. So there you are. Well, I took it a little further and said, well, would you be willing to take the pig stool home and worship it at home? He said, yes. He didn't want us to worship Krishna, but he was willing to worship the pig stool, so he said, to demonstrate his pantheistic belief that everything is God. So sometimes people say we shouldn't use these words fool and rascal, but what else, what other words can apply to such a person? So Brahma, he's not such a fool or a rascal, obviously, or else he wouldn't be Brahma. So he understands that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava Dhrita Shukara Rupa, Jaya Jagadishahara. He is the Keshav, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the same Keshav who is, Keshav means the Lord of Brahma and Shiva. That is one meaning of the word Keshav. That same Keshav is appearing in the form of a hog, but it doesn't mean that every hog is God, and it doesn't mean that because the hog is so much condemned and abominable that Muslims won't even eat the flesh of a hog. So it's so much, I mean, even they're meat eaters, but they won't eat the flesh of a hog. There's so much condemned. But Brahma, he understands that, he has a clear understanding that this form is the fully worshipable personality of Godhead, who is his father, the father of Brahma. He is born from the lotus flower, which comes from the navel of Mahavishnu. That same Varaha Rupa is the origin of all the universes from his hair holes, not in this form. From his hair holes all the universes emanate, not in this form, but this form is non-different from Mahavishnu.
So when the rishis say that the Supreme Lord, Varahadev, all the universes emanate from his body, from the hair holes of his body, it's completely true. Because even though they don't emanate from this particular form, this particular form is non-different from the form of Mahavishnu, from whom all the universes emanate. So Brahma has a clear understanding of this point. Although some aspects of Krishna are simply bewildering to him, he clearly understands the point that the Supreme Lord can assume any form he likes. He clearly understands that this form of the boar is none other than the Supreme Lord. But still, he is bewildered sometimes. Muhyanti yat surayaha. One of the qualities of the Supreme Lord is that he places into illusion even the great demigods. And Brahma admitted that even though he's the most intelligent person within the universe, he's a perfect Brahmana, one who performs the duties of a Brahmana perfectly for 100 lives, could be qualified to attain the post of Lord Brahma. So he's the most intelligent, the most perfect Brahmana. And Brahma Janatiti Brahmana, one who knows Brahma, the supreme truth, the spiritual truth, is called a Brahmana. And Brahma is the best Brahmana in the universe. So he understands the position of the Supreme Lord. But he himself, upon seeing Krishna's pastimes, admitted this jananta eva janantu kimba hukta name prabhu manasa vachasa. What is that? Manasa vachasa. How does it go? Vakya. And I forgot the last line. That some people may say, I understand Krishna. So Brahma says that, all right, let them say it. Maybe they do. But as far as I am concerned, everything about you is beyond the comprehension of my four brains. I don't understand. I can, of course, in the same prayers, Brahma offered so many statements, philosophical statements, demonstrating that he does understand so much about Krishna. Many of his statements, they are essential statements of the Bhagavata for understanding the position of Krishna. But having said that, he also said that, well, I can't understand. Some people may say they understand your glories, but I don't. I'm stating some of them, and they're certainly true what I'm saying. But to understand in full Krishna's glories and to understand everything he does, it's simply not possible. So it may be very difficult for us to understand why has he appeared as in the form of a pig. Well, the reason is given here very simply, to lift up the earth. It's a very suitable form to lift up the earth. He doesn't need to assume the form of a boar to do so. He can just lift it up by his own wish, or he could have prevented it falling in the first place. But this is his leela, this is his pastime. He enjoys that. You say, well, how can you enjoy, what's enjoyable in the form of a pig? And that's just the point, that a pig form is in this material world, it's the perverted reflection, full of suffering, of the original form of the pig, which is full of bliss and very beautiful. Pig is not beautiful. If we say to someone, You look as beautiful as a pig. It's an insult. But Lord Ba is Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. He is Krishna, who is more beautiful than millions of cupids can even begin to imagine. So it may be difficult for us to understand, but if God wasn't difficult for us to understand, then He wouldn't be God. What's the use of being God if you have a driving license number and an income tax number and you're all packaged away? Born on such a date, died on such a date, did this, did that, rest in peace. So that's not God. He's completely beyond classification. The Vedas, they classify, the Acharyas, they describe about His potencies, Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti. But then again, they say that His powers are innumerable, and all of His powers, they are immeasurable. So our attempt to classify, we can do so to some extent, and that is part of bhakti. If it's done by devotees, that is part of bhakti, to glorify the Supreme Lord in as much as we can do. By describing His glories, that is the function of the jiva, kirtan, to glorify the Supreme Lord. And do so, but as we'll find in the prayers of the sages here, by describing His glories. How otherwise will you glorify Him than to describe His glories? But having done so, to some extent, one can only conclude that His glories are immeasurable, and that we can only relate them to some extent with whatever little power we have, which is also given by Him. We can attempt to glorify Him, whose glories are immeasurable. And He becomes pleased by that. And He blesses us with the power to go on doing so. So the rishis are glorifying Lord Varaha. And we may also do. Lord Varaha has appeared in Navadvip Dham as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the best of the Brahmanas. Him and Nityananda Prabhu are described as Dvijavaro, the best of the Brahmanas. And sometimes He also assumes, even in His pastimes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He assumes the form of a boar just up the road here at the house of Murari Gupta. He assumed the form of a boar. Devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship Him as the Channa avatar, the covered avatar. He is described, Varahadev, His description is there in the Vedas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's description is also there in the Vedas, but not in a very manifest way. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when He appeared, He showed various forms. Sometimes He showed Himself as Krishna, as Radha Krishna, sometimes in six-handed form, sometimes in four-handed form, sometimes as Rama, sometimes as Varaha. Na Chaitanyat Krishnaj Jagati Paratattvam Harameha. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared in this land. He lifted up this earth as Varahadev. The earth has become blessed by that. She is the wife of Varahadev, the Bhushakti, Bhuvaraha. She is the wife of Lord Vishnu, especially the Varaha form. That same Bhushakti has appeared in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Vishnu Priya Devi, and we can glorify Lord Varaha by chanting Jai Shachinandana, Jai Shachinandana, Jai Shachinandana, Gaura Hari, Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Or comment? Karana Sukaraya.
That is the form, Lord Krishna is form for a reason. Can we also know from Bhagavad Gita, the Prabhupada writing that all these forms are eternal? So basically, how do we understand this point?
How do we understand this point? The Lord has assumed this form for a specific purpose, yet all the forms are eternal. Well, not all the forms are eternally manifested. There are naimittic avatars, nitya avatars, and naimittic also. The question is that it's described here that karana sukara, the Supreme Lord has assumed this form for a specific purpose. And also, that's also in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also alludes to this word karana by saying he is the cause of all causes. So the question is, how can we understand that he's assumed this form if he's, all the forms of the Lord are eternal, so how can we say he's assumed this form for this purpose? Well, not all the forms of the Lord are eternal. They're not all eternally manifest. Some are manifest from time to time. They're called naimittic avatars. They come sometimes. The Lord takes this form sometimes. Is Varaha Dev nitya or naimittic? Well, that's a question I've been discussing with some devotees for a few months, and we're still going on. We didn't come to any conclusion yet, because there are some statements appear to say that he's nitya. Prabhupada speaks about Varaha Loka, and others say not so, that he only assumes that form from time to time. Of course, in Varaha Loka, he can also have that name and be in a form, Vishnu form. But even, of course, the form is eternal in the sense that that form is eternally manifest, or again and again manifest. Even if he's not present in that form in the spiritual world, then again and again that form is manifest. So it's a moot question, you could say. It's nitya or naimittic, they're all the Supreme Lord who is eternal. It's only a matter of classification that we say one form is eternal and the other isn't. Is there any other question or comment? Yeah, please.
These forms of the Lord are present in the material world and it's manifest. It's always been in the material world from time to time.
Yeah.
But it's necessarily true that it will always be from time to time in the material world.
Is it always true that there will always be a material world from time to time? Seems like that. We got the mic. From time to time, the mic turns up. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist because it's not there. Srila Prabhupada, when he was questioned about this, he said that yes, there will always be some jivas who misuse their independence. So, it's always going to be there. Yeah, can we pass the mic over to Vasudeva?
I was wondering whether there was any difference essentially with the fact that Krishna appears as a baby in this material world, even though we know he doesn't exist as a baby in the spiritual world. But he appears.
He doesn't exist as a baby in the spiritual world. Try telling that to Mother Yashoda.
I heard it said that.
You must be a Dwarka Vasi. Vasudeva. Hey, if Krishna's not there as a baby, I'm not going to go there. I'll stay here. He comes as a baby here. I'm not going to go there anyway. But
so isn't it the same situation?
Mother Yashoda, as far as she's concerned, Krishna's only a baby. Even when she meets him at Kurukshetra, and he's grown up and he's got his own babies, then she puts him on his lap and feeds her, and feeds him. So from Mother Yashoda's point of view, definitely Krishna's a baby always.
We were discussing from our point of view.
Well, I'd rather discuss from Mother Yashoda's point of view.
One answer I heard, which I accepted, is that Lord Krishna appears as a baby, or as a boy, or another Shingadeva, eternally in some universe.
Although, of course, sometimes the material universes are not manifest. But he's again and again coming as a baby. And the pastimes in this material world, they appear to be sweeter than in the Gokul pastimes, are sweeter than the Golok pastimes. How about that? So maybe better to stay in the material world. If you want the real bliss, better stay here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, unique one size form that nobody is confused, is it a pig or is it a Nisimadev, or then for every living being here in the material world, it would be really clear, oh, we're here, God. Then people are not disturbed about it, you know, so many different forms and so many religions that emanate of these different forms. Why did it take Krishna?
Why not one form so everyone can be clear about it? Even if there was, it doesn't mean that everyone would accept it and everyone be clear. The unclearness doesn't come from the Lord assuming many forms. It comes from our rascaldom in not accepting that He is unlimited and He has many forms. The unclearness is nothing to do with His innate nature. It's due to our perverted nature. So even if you did put him in a box, wrap him up, put a stamp on him, and say, this is God, only this, nothing else. And still people wouldn't accept him. They'd say, well, if he's God, why doesn't he come in many forms? Better that he should have many forms, and there'd be different kinds of forms that different people could accept, and then we wouldn't argue over them because we'd all have our own form according to our own